Well, today I just want to share a message with you from the Bible. And the title of my message is simply this: Is It Worth It? Is it worth it? And you might have asked that question yourself over the past maybe few days, maybe just this morning as you were waking up, you were about to come to church, and you were thinking to yourself, is it worth it for me to wake up, get out of this comfortable bed, and go to church? And you're here this morning, so it was worth it. And it's going to be worth it, I believe. And maybe just a week ago, you were deciding to purchase something, and you thought to yourself, well, I don't know, this costs a certain amount of money, and I'm going to spend my money on this. Is it worth it for me to buy this thing? Whatever that might have been. For people being baptized this morning, they had to think about this and decide, is it worth it for them to come in front of all the people into this box, which looks like a casket, by the way, and sit down, lay down, and get dunked and fully immersed in water in front of everybody else so that their hair will be popping up all and they'll be, you know, looking a certain way? And is it worth it for them to get baptized today in front of everybody? And for them, it was worth it. Just recently, I was talking to somebody, and they asked me, what did I think about the new iPhone 16 that just came out recently? Is it worth it for that person to buy that iPhone 16? Obviously, if you're an Android person, you probably wouldn't care about iPhones. We have some Android people in the house. But, you know, if you are, you know, and my response was, well, what iPhone do you have? And they said 13. I said, that's good enough. You don't, probably not worth spending $3,000 on a new phone or whatever it costs nowadays to have a new iPhone. So this is the question that we always keep on asking, even ourselves. Is it worth my time? Is it worth my energy, my talent, my money? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? And that is the question that I want to start with. Thinking about a life of faith and us following Jesus, asking the question, this Christian life that we are living, that we are trying to walk in, and the Bible and the prayer and all these things, is it worth it? Many people in this world are asking that question, but before they answer that question, they should really first answer this question: what are the things in life that truly matter and that they truly treasure? You know, many people in this life have all kinds of different questions about the meaning of life. What is this whole life really about? Why are we here? Why? What's going on? Are we just to be born, be happy, maybe be famous, rich, experience fun, and then just die? Is that really all there is to life? It's interesting because if you talk to people that have money and they're rich and famous, they will say no. And then if you look at some of the people that are rich and famous and you hear them speak, they don't really seem to be happy, even though they have it, kind of have it all together. From the outside, you look at them and you feel like, well, they kind of seem like they have it all. But really, when you hear these people speak, they really, it seems like they're missing something. There's a story in the Bible about a young man who was rich, young, and famous. He was rich, young, and famous. And I thought about this, and for me, myself, we share only one thing in common, and that is we're young. The rich and famous, no. And I don't ever want to be a rich and famous. But if you talk to some of the young people nowadays, and you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? A lot of young people will say, I want to be famous. I want to be rich. And then when you ask them, what do you actually want to do? 90% of the kids nowadays say they want to be YouTubers. They want to start a YouTube channel. And they think it's so easy to start a YouTube channel. And to make all this money, just put videos on. Everybody's going to be watching. And they think it's just going to be easy like that. And you're talking to people nowadays, and most people say, well, it would be so cool if I was liked, if I was rich, if I was famous, and everybody looked up to me. But we know that that doesn't fulfill. And we see a scripture story about this young ruler, the rich young ruler who came up to Jesus, and it seemed like at that time when people look at him, he seemed perfect. Even to the point where he was following every command. He was living by the book, and he was doing everything that you should be doing right. And even had all the money and possessions, yet he found something missing. And let's go to this story and read it. And the story simply goes like this. Mark 10, 17 through 27, it says this. As he was setting out on a journey, Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Well, teacher, I've kept all these commands from my youth," since he was young. Looking at him, Jesus showed love to him, and he said to him, "One thing you lack." What is the thing that he lacks? "Go and sell all of your possessions, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." But he was deeply dismayed by these words, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus responded again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were even more astonished, and they said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people it is impossible, but now with God, for all things are possible with God." Now, I just thought about this as it relates to today, and if this was to happen to us right now in this moment, as we're sitting in church and we had a rich, young, famous person walk into the room and kneel down, run to the front, and ask the question, "Pastor, what do I have to do to have eternal life?" And then I thought about this deeply, and I thought about a few things that I might have maybe not said, but I would have maybe thought, if I was truly honest, I probably would have thought, "Oh, I know this guy, he's famous. I see him all over Instagram and Facebook and everywhere, and you know, he's out there on the news all the time. He makes a lot of money." And I probably would have thought, "Wow, imagine how many radio stations we could start in this region. Not only support Faith Radio, but actually have another 20 if we need to. And not only in this region, but all around the world. Imagine how an incredible building we could build to do God's work. Imagine all the missionaries that we have and we're supporting, how much money we would be able to give to these people to do the work of ministry. And oh my, we have the Walk of Lights coming up. We wouldn't just make it the way we usually make it. We would like 10x it. We would make it like the best Walk of Lights ever to reach the community." Let's say this person was Mark, whatever his last name is, the guy that owns Facebook. Walks into a room. First thing I would tell him, destroy Facebook because it's wasting too much time for all the people in here. Amen. Second thing, Instagram, I know you bought it for $1.2 billion. I need you to destroy it right now because all the young people are complaining they don't have time to read the Bible and pray, but they're on Instagram like 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. Oh, that one hurt. And then WhatsApp, you bought that too. Well, guess what? I know people that spend more time on WhatsApp than sleeping, talking to everybody in this whole wide world. And then give me all your money. I'm joking. But imagine if that's the way we would process things as humans and what we would actually say, what we would actually do. He believed a lie, the young man. He believed that there's something that he has to do to be saved. He felt like, I just need to do something. I have all this money. I have all these possessions. I work so hard for all this, and I'm famous, and I need to do something to be saved, to have eternal life. He was missing something. He knew that this life was short. He knew that death was going to come. He was going to die, and he knew there was something more to this life, and he asked Jesus, what else do I have to do? He believed the lie that our works and what we do can save us. That's the lie that most people believe. Yeah, I just go to church on Sundays. I just pray. I read the Bible. I do this. I do all these religious things. I even got baptized, and I do all these things, and now I'm saved. Well, yes, I also cut the checks, and I give to the missions, and I give to this, and I give to that, and now I'm saved. But our purpose isn't in what we do, but in who we are. It's not what you do, what you accomplish, what you think you are going to do. It is what Jesus has already done for you, and you accepting that and becoming that. Your character changing, your heart changing. It's not about following the rules. That's not what's going to save us. And here's a few lessons that we can learn from this text. Number one, we all need saving. Everybody on this planet needs saving. Our great-grandparents have sinned, and they have been separated from God spiritually, and we all need. So the Bible talks about this way, Romans 3, 22, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Rich young ruler was famous and known, and morally, he was even morally a good person. He obeyed all the commandments. He did all the things right, lived by the book, didn't cheat on his taxes, didn't do anything wrong, but he knew that something was missing. Something was missing. So God is not concerned about what we accomplish, what we do. He's more concerned about who we become and our heart and our character and our posture in relations to Jesus, of how do we view Jesus. How is your heart posture in relation to Jesus this morning? Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says this, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by the works, so that no one can boast. There's nothing that you can do, that you can be proud of and boast about, that you have done, that you can earn this salvation, that you can earn this gift of eternal life. It is a gift that's been given to God, from God to us. And the most important day of your life is not the day that you were physically born, but the day that you were spiritually reborn. That is the most important birth. Now, we see this in the story of Nicodemus when he came to Jesus at night to ask him, what do you mean by being reborn? This doesn't make any sense. How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? It doesn't make any sense. And then Jesus explains to him, he says, no. This is about a spiritual rebirth. It is about your spirit is dead, and everybody on this planet Earth has their spirit is dead, but then when you get reborn spiritually, you become alive in Christ. And you become, you receive the Holy Spirit, and Christ lives in you. So everybody needs saving. The most famous, the richest, and the least. Categories, ranks, positions, everybody needs a Savior, Jesus Christ. Our efforts will never be enough to bridge that gap between us and God. Second thing that we learn from this text, from this young guy, is our heart cannot be divided. Our heart cannot be divided. And I don't know how to describe this. Probably the best way to describe this is let's say you're in a relationship, committed relationship. Let's say you're in marriage and you are married to a person that you love. And let's say you come to your husband or to your wife and you say, "Well, honey, I know my heart is fully yours, but listen, I'm still going to be going and dating my ex. We're still going to be going on a date once a month. I love you. I really do. My heart is fully yours, but I'm still going to be going out on dates with some random people. And then I'm going to be seeing my friends too, just so you know." Or relationships are probably the easier to understand, but a divided heart, in this sense of politics, if you look at the people, everybody seems to be either left or right. Liberal or conservative. There's no middle ground. You either believe in something or you don't. And then people are saying, "Well, you know, I'm somewhere in the middle." Well, you can't really be in the middle. You're either left or right. And you either believe this or you either don't believe that. You either believe that in the scriptures, you either believe that Jesus is Lord or you simply don't believe that Jesus is Lord. You either believe that, you know, God created heavens and the earth, or everything just kind of exploded out of nothing. You have to believe something. You can't be in between. It's not the middle ground. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this. Sorry, Romans 3:23. Sorry, I have the wrong verse. Matthew 6:24 says this. "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money," is what Jesus says here. And relates really good to this story. But you cannot have your heart divided and say, "You know what? I'm a Christian, but I also do a little bit of some things that are not really Christian. You know, I read the Bible and I pray and I do all these things, but I also, you know, sometimes do things that my friends tell me to do, and I go out and I do all these things." You're either a Christian, you either follow, or you don't. It's simple. You either have your heart devoted to God and to what His Word is teaching and saying, or you're just not. James 1:8 says this, "Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." Double-minded, double-hearted, half-hearted is not the way that Christ wants and desires. You can't have your heart split in half. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5 were a couple that thought they could have their heart split in half. And what they did is the apostles told them, "Go sell the property and then give us the money and we'll use it for the ministry." And they thought, "Okay, you know, let's do that." So they went and they sold the property and they kept some money to themselves and they gave some money to the apostles as if God didn't know what they were doing. They were double-minded, they were unstable, and then an apostle came and said, "How can you lie to the Holy Spirit? Who do you think God is to hide some things from us?" And we can try to hide things, but they soon come to light, oftentimes in life. Whatever we try to hide will come to light. The Bible talks about that. So we have this word in the Bible, and we know it really well, especially in the Old Testament, and they call this word idol. Idol. Having your heart turned towards the idol. We see it in the Old Testament when Moses was gone for a little while. The people got confused and they were like, "What do we need to do? We got to build some idol. We got to serve this big golden calf." So they did that. And then Moses came and he was upset. And God was upset because they did that. And what is idol? Idol is someone or something that we admire more than God. That's simply what idol is. And many people, unfortunately, make idols and they serve many idols in their life. And one of them, obviously, in this scripture we see is possessions and money. And I would say that is probably the biggest idol of this day and age, money and possessions. And that is what the enemy uses the most to pull people away from Christ. When your mind is all about, oh, how can I make more money? How can I buy more properties? How can I do more? Just more. And then just like they reach a certain level of you, they say, this is the lie. They believe the lie that when I reach certain amount, I'll be happy. And then you see those people reach certain amount and then they're not happy. And then they want more, and they want more, and they want more. It's an endless cycle that the enemy gets people in to believe that this is what life is about. And the problem with this young gentleman is that he thought that his good works and his idols can save him, his idol, his possessions. But little did he know that the possessions that he possessed him and his heart. And his heart was not ready to give up on that. Where's your attention? What do you truly treasure the most? And whatever it is, the thing that you treasure the most, if Christ was going to come and say, would you give that up for me? Is the question that we should answer with yes. Always, every time. So, God wants our undivided heart. And if there's anything in your life that competes with God for your heart, it doesn't have to be money and possessions. It could be wealth, it could be relationships, it could be status, it could be comfort, it could be self-confidence even, thinking that I'm confident enough and I'm good enough and I'm smart enough and I, and me. Even that is in itself idle. When we have self-confidence, all the self-help books will not be able to help broken soul that only God can heal. It's not about self-confidence. It's about God-confidence. It's about trusting in God and putting your faith and trust in God. Is your heart divided? And the third thing that we learn from this text is simply an answer to the question that I started the sermon with, is it worth it? And it simply is. It is worth it. It is worth it. You see, our true meaning and our true purpose and our true worth comes from relationship with Jesus, with God, because God is the one who created us, and he created us for a relationship with him. And everything else that we try to do in this world to fit that God-sized hole in us will never satisfy. It will never meet our needs. You can try it all, and you hear people say they've tried this, and they've tried that, and they've tried that, and they were always left empty. Because nothing will satisfy truly our spirit besides Christ. People are going in circles, and they always have felt empty because our purpose and the meaning is not found under the sun, but beyond our solar system and sun, which is Christ himself, S-O-N, the one who created us for purpose and relationship with him. Matthew 13:44 says this, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all that he has had and bought that field. That is what the kingdom of heaven is like. When you find this is the story of a pearl, you find some treasure in a land and you say, you know what, this is worth everything. You go and you get rid of everything that you own and everything to just go get that simple pearl that is so valuable, of great price. Philippians 3:7-8 says this, and I'm going to finish with this, but whatever were gains to me, Apostle Paul says, now I consider it loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What is holding you back from truly, totally, fully surrendering to God? Is it your career? Is it your finances, your position? Is it your status? Is that an excuse of, I don't have time? Because all the time that we have, we only know for now in this moment. You don't know how much time you have. And you don't know how much time your loved ones have either. It's a lie that we think we have all this time. And the Bible talks about this. So it talks about the heart of what we treasure the most. He says, whatever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And I wanted to make that point as well in my second point, which is your life will flow in the direction of your heart. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? This Jesus that we talk about, that we believe in, that we follow, is calling out to us not to go out and take all of our possessions and get rid of them and come and follow him. That's not what's happening in this story. What's happening in this story is Jesus just wanted to see the reaction. What's worth more than him? And that is the same question that is being asked of us every single day of our life when we wake up. What's worth more to you than Jesus? What we need to do is we need to realize that the greatest treasure that we can have is Christ himself. It's his life in us. It's his spirit in us. It's his peace in us. It's his joy in us. Because true treasure is found when we surrender all to follow the one who is worth everything. That's where the true treasure is. Now, the young man did not fully understand that. He did not fully understand what that meant. And he walked away sad and depressed. And hopefully, maybe down the road, somewhere in the scripture, it was not recorded, but hopefully he turned around and he gave his life to Christ. But we all individually need the courage to surrender fully to Christ and follow him without any reservation. That is what God is wanting of us. And how do we do that? Simply, Pastor Ken has mentioned it, and I'm going to mention it again. We simply just need to come to Christ. We need to repent. Repent of our sin. Repent of our desires, of what we think is best. Of God is the one who gave you life. Who do you think you are? He's the one who gave you life. He's the one who can take it away right now. So your life belongs to Christ. It belongs to God. You need to repent of your sins. You need to repent of the selfishness that you have as a human, that I have as a human, and I have to repent of that every single day myself. Repent of this, and then the Bible says, be baptized for the confession of your sins. That is the way forward. That is what is required of us. And that's what Jesus says. Jesus says in Luke 13:10, he says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. So you may be wondering, sitting here and wondering the whole time and thinking, is this message really for me? If you've never given your life to Christ, we're going to pray that prayer in a moment. But you may be even thinking, you know, I've given my life to God, but I'm just living this life, not really fully, truly surrendered to him. Well, the Bible talks about this. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when you can recommit, and it's never too late to put your life into Christ's hands. Don't miss it, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. You must be willing to change. You must be willing to repent, which means really not only to say it with your words, but to actually show it in your actions, to turn away. Repent means actually to fully turn away. You were going one way, and now you're fully turning around, and you're going the opposite way. I used to live in life of sin. I used to drink every Friday night. I used to do this, and I used to do that, but now my life is different, and I'm going in a different direction. I'm following of what God requires of me. So as we all close our eyes this morning, I want to pray together with you and for you. And I want to ask you to pray and reflect on these things that I've said. Is there anything that's holding you back? What is holding you back from fully committing and giving your life to Christ? And the question in the beginning was, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? Is Jesus really worth it? Well, I want to tell you one thing. Jesus is the person that loves you the most, cares about you the most, And he wants to forgive you, and he wants to give you power and strength that you need. So this morning, you can be free to give your heart to Christ again, and then again, and recommit your life to him again, and just let him work in your life. Let him be the Lord and Savior of your life. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. I'm going to pray this simple prayer. I just want you to repeat after me. We can all repeat. But I want you to really, truly, in your heart, say these words from your heart. Don't just say them to say them. Say them from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I repent of everything. Of everything that's been holding me back. I commit my life to you. I commit my whole heart to you. And I repent of my selfishness, my own ways, my own desires, and I want to submit to you. I commit my life to you. Have your way in me. I recommit my heart to you again. And if there's anything in my life that needs to be dealt with, you deal with it right now. And you give me peace. Thank you for your peace. And thank you for your joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.